Hey friends, we have a very special show for you today, especially if you're a history buff. Ron Daniels is back to talk about some extra special work he's doing. Ron is from the Nashville, Tennessee area, and he's been asked to restore rose gardens at the Hermitage, which is the home of Andrew Jackson, and the Bel Air Mansion. So, with his usual expertise, energy, and enthusiasm, Ron is digging deep into the historical records to bring these rose gardens back to life, and in a way that honors the original plan. So listen in to these fascinating stories.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey, Ron, welcome back.
Well, glad to be back. Thank you for asking me to talk again about roses and rose projects.
Well, you know, I was just looking at my latest newsletter from Hortoscope, and that's a publication that I get which lists all the garden-related activities in central Indiana. And on this particular one, there's one word that prevails: cancellation. And Rose Chat is not canceled. We're ready to go because I think there's about 400 miles between us.
That's true. This is pretty safe.
It's pretty safe.
Gardening, safe everything. But, you know, it gives you time, I guess, to work in your own garden and get things going down here in the spring. There's plenty of work to do in the garden. My wife told me the other day, said, "I wish I was a gardener. I could get through some of this stuff." So she just been cleaning out things, and I've been doing my gardening work out in the garden as much as I can.
Yeah, we've had a little rain, but today, well, as I told our friends in the recent chat that we had with you on spring rose garden chores, When it comes to roses and gardening, you do it all. And so today it's going to be a little different. We're going to be talking about garden restoration and the work that you're doing at the Hermitage and the Bel Air Mansion in Nashville.
Yes, this is, it's been, you know, I've grew modern roses for years and years, almost 29 years now. And I had buddies that grew old garden roses and didn't really have an interest in it. I respected them. I knew they were very fragrant and durable. And so last spring, I was on the campus of Belmont University. It used to be Belmont Mansion. It's the former home of Alicia Ackerman, who lived there. And as my wife Francine says, she married well and had a lot of money, especially her first husband. And she remarried with her second husband, and they built Belmont Mansion. And it's about 19,000 square feet. And they built it between 1849 and 1853. But she had 175 acres there. She had a zoo, conservatory, a garden, a rose garden with 800 to 1,000 roses in it. Just all different types of hydrangeas and cut flowers. And I mean, it was like a park. It was their summer home, if you can believe that. And they had cotton plantations in Louisiana, about 7 to 8 of them. And they would go from one to the other during the rest of the year. But they spent their summers up in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And back in the day, this was pretty far out of the city limits. It's built into it now. So I'm walking down the, we got one garden already there at Belmont that, the Rose Society had something to do in 2005, which I've talked to about it in the past. And I was on that committee, not in charge of it, but I was on that committee to restore, part of the old garden that was there, at least in number of roses. So we have about 200 plus roses of modern roses there, and it's built on a quarter scale of the original garden. Even have a statue in the middle of it that stood in the middle of this particular garden back in the 1850s and 60s. So that kind of stirred my interest up, and I love history, and they have a historian there at the university, and I got with him, and I'm walking down, before I've talked to him, I'm walking down through the campus with Judy Fisher, the president, Bob Fisher, the president of the university's wife, who's very supportive of us and wants us on campus and wants us to be part of what's going on at Belmont as far as the gardens go. And I said, well, Judy, I said, you know, there's nothing here that Adelicia Ackerman grew. And she looked at me real strange. They've been there 20 years, her and Bob. And I said, you know, we got this modern garden up here, which is great. It's awesome. And I believe, Tracy, you've seen that garden before, hadn't you?
Oh, I have. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And they maintain it. We, the Nashville Rose Society trained them and mentored their, have 12 people that work in a landscape team. And we trained them to take care of them roses. And we keep training them year to year as they get new people. But anyway, I said, you know, there's nothing here that she grew. So we walked on down the campus, and right at the end of the campus is this big watchtower. It used to be a water tower, and the water tower provided water for the fountains and the flowers in front of the mansion. And so Judy looked at me. She says, we walked down, and we see this space right in front, close to where the original garden was. I have pictures go back in the 1860s that they gave me out of their historical archives, copies of the garden. So I knew what it looked like, and it was something else. And so she said, well, what do we need to do? I said, you know, all the roses that she grew, we can get. And she couldn't believe me. There's people around the country. I just recently met a guy in Florida down next to Clearwater that had a cutting business, and he had all these roses and all. So, but anyway, she said, well, let's do it. And so she picked the two spots and turned me loose. It's kind of scary. And I'm thinking, she's giving me the go ahead, and I ain't gonna go through all the, I mean, Belmont, you know, it's quite an operation there. I mean, they just don't, especially when it comes to that garden. I mean, you just have to have approval from a lot of different people. But she said, you got my approval. I'll take care of Bob, as she calls him. Her husband, the president, who's an awesome guy. And I said, well, you sure? So no, you got the landscape team at your disposal. You plan it, do a drawing, and we'll pay for everything, and you just oversee it. Boy, that was music to my ears. And I thought, man, this is going to be fun. And so I went to the historian up there, and he came and gave me an actual nursery list where they had ordered roses back in 1860s. And I'm thinking, wow, this is awesome. And so I'm telling you this to lead into these other two projects, because on that list, I noticed that the list was shared with the Hermitage. And the Hermitage is the home of Andrew Jackson and Rachel Jackson, our seventh president of the United States, since here in the Nashville area. And so about 250,000 people visited every year, and it's an awesome, awesome place. I've been there a bunch of times, but really didn't pay a lot of attention to the history of the garden. But come to find out, I have started backwards in doing these projects. If I'd started at the Hermitage, mm-hmm. that's where a lot of the people that had antebellum homes would get their information, and then the strange thing about it, after I did some research, the gardeners actually talked. And a lot of the gardeners that worked at Belmont, now that's Belmont, you know, was built after the 1850s. And then Bel Air, another project we'll talk a little bit about, it was built in 1832. So I'm going backwards with my knowledge. I learned so much. Some of my pictures show some of the moss roses growing up on trellises. In fact, the trellises and gazebos are the original ones, are still on campus, and they still have roses on them. But none of the old garden, they had replaced them with some other roses. And, so that was exciting. So I found probably 50% of the roses she actually grew. One of them was called Henry Martin, but the blooms are unbelievable and the fragrance is unbelievable. Then I found some of the same era of words. By looking at the nursery list, I found some other ones like Old Blush. Everybody had an Old Blush back in the day. We put about 20-something in this garden. And then we labeled it real good and called it the Adelicia Ackerman Rose Garden. So I finished that project and I thought, well, that was last spring, last May. And then all of a sudden I get a call back in December of last year from a gentleman that had actually bought the Bel Air Mansion. And it's in Donelson, Tennessee, which is out not too far, about 5 miles from town, not too far from the Hermitage. And so we met out there, me and this. And then what I tried to do on these next two is I wanted to get everybody involved. So we have two or three people in the Rose Society that want to be part of it. And that made it fun also. So our vice president, John Windler, he got involved in it. He's a great organizer. And then Diane Coleman, our webmaster, I don't know if you met her before, but she's unbelievable with our website. She wanted to be part of it. She was recently became a consulting Rosarian. So, and then Jean Meyer. And Jean Meyer is in our society is the old garden guru, rose guru. He knows them and all. So we all kind of got involved in the Hermitage and the Bel Air Mansion. So, the history behind the Bel Air Mansion, it was always been a residence. A lot of the Society of Nashville partied there. There was a mayor of Nashville that lived there. And if you come to Nashville, you'll run into a lot of things named Harding, Harding Road and Harding Mall. Well, that was the Harding family and they lived there. So, but what was going to happen 2.5 years ago, they were going to destroy or tear down this antebellum home and build condos. And so, terrible.
No.
And so this guy, Lewis James and his wife, Connie, rescued it. And they restored the whole mansion and worked on it for 2 years and kind of made a bed and breakfast out of it, but they restored it. And it's awesome inside. So he contacted us and wanted to restore the gardens. And of course, he wanted to make it an event area where they have weddings, of course. And so I think I sent you a few pictures today of before and after. So we went down there and we met there in January, me and John Winter, and we walked over the property and went down to where the garden was, and it was overgrown. And I actually found some roses, some sprouts of roses coming up in the weeds. There was no flowers there now. Yeah. And then the hardscape was already in place. I uncovered it and I thought, man, this is unbelievable. He said, yeah, I saved some bricks too from the house that was made out of horsehair. I mean, it was just the hardscape was there. I'm thinking, wow. What we did, we gave him a plan of action, I'm in construction business. So I gave him a scope of what he needed to do to restore it. He was very attentive, very busy guy, but he knew he wanted to restore this garden. And I said, the Nashville Rose Society is here to help you. And then if you need a landscape architect, we've got some people there that can help you in the plant design. I'll start researching the roses that were in there. And he said, well, he was very appreciative and it became fun for us to do all this. And so he'd done everything we told him to do. And when he got through, I sent you the pictures this morning. It blew me away because you could not see them bricks. Them were the original bricks. He had extra bricks. He had a mason that come down, an old mason that come down there and worked down there for a week and just got it right back up to shape. He cleaned all the weeds and brush out. And it's ready. It's in progress, but it's ready. The plant design's being planned right now. And he plans, of course, with the virus going on, everything's kind of slowed down, but it's ready to plant, as you can see in them pictures. And so it's just been a fun project. And I've been kind of going back in history, the people that lived there. There was one lady that lived there. I think it's one of the Hardings. And she had a pass along thing she did that you may have heard of and you may have made it. I've never heard of it. I've heard of it, but I just didn't know what it was. But she used to make rose water. And evidently, according to my wife, rose water is in a lot of makeup and it's a good hygiene thing. It smells good. It's an anti-inflammatory, and you know, it's not hard to make. You can take distilled water and clean rose petals and make you some. But it was kind of a pass-along thing for her when people visit her. So, but we did find out that they had some old blushes in the garden, and there's a few other ones, other roses that we're working on right now that I'm working with the architect to choose to put in there. So, so that's been a fun job up to this point, and he's dedicated to restoring this garden, and it wants to have weddings there. So we're going to have to, he's going to put some climbers and some trellises and stuff that based on pictures. And then, he did a lot of investigating on this mansion before he even bought it, him and his wife, but they've sunk a lot of money into it, and it's gorgeous. I mean, you just think you step back into the 1830s and 40s. It just blows you away.
I've got the website pulled up. It's absolutely gorgeous.
And it's just not, like,
I mean, it's the perfect combination of old and new. I mean, you're working on it today, but it's living history. It's just absolutely beautiful. There's like a million different ways that you could just go down a rabbit hole with this project.
Yes, that's the truth. And he follows our instructions. He's asked our advice. I'm at the point in my gardening where I want to teach people how to fish instead of fishing for them.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, and Frank Singens told me all the time, said, you'll go out there and do it for them. I know what you'll do. Well, I've done it in the past, but I'd rather take the knowledge and it's fun. I like history and I love to. And when you do these gardens and everything, when you restore, I've got one finished and two going on. You learn about what the people live there and how the garden was the center of everything. And if you notice in them pictures I sent you of the Bel Air, it's actually a English four square kitchen garden. And that's what they had back in that day. And all our lava architecture came from Europe and England. And then when they had that, they would have all their garden vegetables in there and herbs. And then they would mix their roses and their flowers in there. So it was a work garden, but yet an ornamental garden also with cut flowers and all that. So, he's dedicated to restore it. And the architect is to have a combination of plants in there. So, that one, to me, and then when I got, over to Hermitage, they had a similar situation. They had an English four square garden, kitchen garden. And I'm thinking, wow, a little bit different, a little bit more formal. Had a white picket fence around it. But the unique thing about the garden at the Hermitage, Andrew and Rachel Jackson are buried there in the garden. She wanted, when she died first, and she wanted to be buried in that garden because she was the gardener of the family.
Mm, I love that.
Andrew Jackson, he was quite a character, and he didn't live there a lot of the time until the last part of his life, but that was about 1,200 acres there. And of course, he had a cotton farm plantation there. And but that was her garden. And when she died, he had her buried in there and built a unbelievable tomb in there. But she is around, flowers all around that tomb. It's unbelievable.
So she's still loving that.
She's still loving that. And then a beauty part about it, we had a new member join our Rose Society first year. Her name is Sarah Emmons, and she's the horticulturist out there. And when they hire her, we've helped her too about the roses. And this is all in, this is not complete yet. But they told her, said, you can't do anything here till you're here a year. Because they wanted her to understudy the garden and the grounds, and which makes sense. And so she's just been a delight to work with. And we still got some more stuff to do for her and go. We had a meeting plan that got canceled. Like you started out, everything's canceled, and to really plan the roses. But she's got a list of roses that she wants and to put in that garden, and that's going to be a fun project. And that's a, like I said, it's probably the oldest antebellum home in Middle Tennessee, the Hermitage. But that's where all the Rose information started, at the Hermitage. And I guess if you're president of the United States, you can get an order, Rose order.
You can. You know, this is just, I keep thinking of the documents and how I wish I could see those too. But, yeah. And I'm thinking about how you have just jumped into this, but also your Rose Society. Has this just been a great project for your Rose Society?
It has. Of course, it's not for everybody. And we have enough variety of people there. But Diane Coleman, for instance, and even John Wendler, our co-president, we're co-presidents, and he is a relatively new gardener. I mean, he's been growing roses. I mentored him for 2 or 3 years. And I think this is his fourth year growing, a fifth year. And he likes the planning end of it. I mean, he'll put it together. I know he puts all our educational programs together. And he loved being part of that. And then Diane Coleman, she's done the same thing. And Gene Meyer just been, you know, he knows old garden roses. So he's been a great project. So we've got a kind of a committee. And anybody can be on that committee if you're interested in it. But one thing about it, I really appreciate growing roses more since I learned about the heritage, because, you know, then after I have a little PowerPoint I do at the garden clubs now that I made last year just on old garden roses. And it amazes me the people in our background. I mean, Thomas Jefferson and Napoleon's wife grew. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a lot of history behind it. And the backstories is what I really like. And it all ties into what kinds of roses. But most amazing thing that we have preserved them. And we have 4 or 5 sources to go get them.
Yes.
And plant them in our own gardens. And they all have a story. And I have a couple of roses out here that Josephine grew in her garden in Paris. And I've got some of the old standards, old blush, you know, which is just very durable rose, very fragrant. And old garden roses, they're so durable and they're so disease resistant. And they're good for a veteran grower, but they're also good for a beginner. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, we have some hybrid teas that are pretty fragrant, like a Double Delight, a Fragrant Cloud, or some of them. But old garden roses, man, they'll knock your socks off in fragrance. I mean, that's the first thing people notice about them.
Absolutely. So, one of the things I always tell people, you know, they'll say, well, why do you want to grow something that only blooms one time a year? Well, first of all, it's the stories behind them that are so important. But the other thing for me is that Indiana winters are pretty dark. And so in the spring, in the late spring, early summer, when these old garden roses bloom, it's spectacular. And I call it my time of fireworks and fragrance. And wouldn't do without it.
Absolutely. I knew you grew some. And I think they add a lot to the garden. And then they're repeat bloomers. I mean, you know, some of them, I mean, bloom one time, but there's some of them that will repeat bloom. Great climbers in old garden roses. I mean, there's all kinds of, we got to put some of these at Bel Air. He wants some old trellises where they'll have weddings, see, and be up in area. So it's a business for him, even though he restored it out there. But it's, I'm just glad. I told him, I said, boy, I'm just glad you saved this place. I mean, he's got an ideal location for that. And the developers were going to get it and tear it down. They didn't have no emotional attachment to it. And so it's all about the money. But I'm just tickled that we didn't know when we went out there that he would take our advice and run with it. But he has. And we'll help him till he gets it going. Funny thing, when you build a garden, especially old garden roses, they're from cuttings, and they'll, you know, they want instant gratification. They want a bush that's 4 foot by 4 foot. I mean, you know, when you plant them little guys, they're little, aren't they? I mean, you think I brought some in my garden, and Francine laughed at me till the next year. You know, the second year, and she said, oh my gosh, is that cutting you got? I said, yeah. I mean, you got to be patient with that type of situation. You just don't go out and buy one. You can buy some if they've had them in the greenhouse, maybe a year old, 2 years old, something like that. But they're small when they start, but they grow quick. And after they get a certain size. And another thing about these gardens that I push all the time, and and you know good and well, me or you or anybody else, if you hadn't got a gardener, you hadn't got a garden. And so keeping these things sustainable, it's one thing to build one. It's another thing to care for one and keep it sustainable. Mm-hmm. We've got a great Belmont. We've got a great program in place and money put it away in case they lose their landscape crew. It'll be maintained because that's a third garden on that campus. They lost, I mean, the first two gardens went away. And then in 2005, they built the modern hybrid tea garden. And then, of course, we built this old rose garden last year. So, I'm pushing home. Now, Hermitage ain't going to be no problem because they got their own staff. We train them and they'll take care of them. But the Bel Air, the private concern, I've been telling him all along. I said, you know, you're going to have to get you somebody that's going to take care of the grounds. We'll train him and tell him what he needs to do. And, you know, pruning old garden roses is a little bit different than pruning hybrid teas and fertilization. And he's got water down there, which is awesome. So they can have a water system. So once you restore these gardens, that's not the end. You got to make sure it stays sustainable. And so we've got two of them out of the three, and we're working on the third one. And he just couldn't believe that the Rose Society would actually train someone. I said, yeah, that's what we do. We teach and we'll, you know, give him hands-on lessons.
Well, our time is coming to a close. So in our final minutes, tell us one more story to close us out.
Well, my friend I met down in Florida that does the cuttings, he has 1,400 old garden roses. Last March, I spent a day and a half with him, believe it or not. And so he had a saying, you may have seen this, but I think he came up with this. And he owns a company called Reverence for Roses. His name is Donald Rogers. I don't mind giving him, awesome, awesome guy. I've been trying to get him to come up to Nashville and speak. But he has a saying, he says, and we put this in the Belmont Garden also, but here's what he says. He says, investing in the present to preserve the past for the future. So that's what, you know, that's what these old garden things are doing. I thought that was a great saying. I think he puts it on all his literature and stuff. Like, he allowed me to use it a few times on my PowerPoint. And then one of my favorite sayings by Thomas Jefferson, and I can actually say this, though I am an old man, I am but a young gardener. So, Thomas Jefferson grew a lot of roses too at Marcello. I don't know if you've ever been there, but, he had all kinds. I mean, his gardens are still unbelievable to this day, but so a lot of famous people grew old garden roses, and Thomas Jefferson was one of them. So I'll leave you with them two sayings. And,
it's so true that every year, you know, I feel like a child when it's time for spring to come. Now I'm getting, you know, I've got plenty of time right now, but it keeps raining on us. But, yeah. You know, I'm just as excited now as I was, you know, 20 years ago, even 30 years ago, starting out with roses. So that's very true. Thomas Jefferson nailed that one.
He did, didn't he? We always learn. We continue to learn.
Yes, we are. And Ron, we thank you so much for saying yes to all these projects. I mean, you jump in. I know you. You jump in. Francine is right. You know, you help so many, spend a lot of your time doing that. But boy, this has been a fascinating three projects, actually, and I've learned a ton. And friends, we'll have links to the places where Ron is doing this work on our show notes page. And we just thank you for joining us today. And if you have a rose story you'd like to tell, send us an email at rosechatpodcast@gmail.com. And friends, until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com. Or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag Rose Chat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.